You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey, I'm Brett.
And I'm Steven.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands.
We're just your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
Members of our Patreon get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes videos, blogs, and other perks, including free apparel and so much more. To become part of our Patreon family, go to patreon.com/Broadway Husbands.
All right. On today's episode, I'm so excited about today's guest, aren't you?
Yeah. And I think they're new friends of ours who we got to celebrate Pride with in Austin recently. And we were super excited to interview them for the podcast because they're just a beautiful couple.
Yeah. So beautiful.
And making their living doing very interesting things. And so we are excited to have Jordan Pollock and Ziggy Pollock on our podcast. Welcome.
Welcome, guys. Welcome.
Thanks for having us. How have y'all been doing?
We're good.
We're good.
We're good. Good.
How are you all?
Good.
For those that who are listening who don't know who you are, this is always a fun thing for our guests. Why don't you each
introduce
our audience about the other person and what they do, who they are,
and what they do. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, so this is my wife, Ziggy. She does a lot of things. She's does burlesque. Recently, it's been having to get back into it just because COVID, you know, but she's been doing burlesque for a long time. When I met her, that's what she was doing. When I met her, she actually had a burlesque troupe, which like her and like a bunch of girls, and they did a bunch of shows, and it was really cool. And she also makes costumes. Ziggy also makes costumes, and she's a makeup artist as well. She does makeup for people's weddings. She's also taught like makeup classes before.
And her Instagram is gorgeous, but the makeup on her Instagram account is stunning. Like the stuff she has on her account.
Gorgeous. I have a lot of fun painting my face. During quarantine, it was like definitely something that kept me sane, like having a blank canvas to work on. as far as Jordan goes, he is an entrepreneur and runs a company called Ziggy's Naturals, which I blush even saying this, but is named after me. He is a fun, loving spirit who is a great dog dad and pet dad all around because we have two dogs and a cat. He's super into fitness and health in general. He has been to culinary school, so he's an amazing chef, which I luckily get to benefit from. I get to eat a lot of amazing food, a lot of healthy food.
Yeah.
He loves to hike, go outdoors, play all sorts of different sports, loves family, and doing things for the community, the LGBT community, and giving back. Great big heart.
You all are just so sweet. That was such a sweet introduction. And for those of you listening, I mean, you have to check out both of their Instagrams. They are just so beautiful. And
and I will say, we met Jordan through Jordan and Jordan's dad, because we are partnered with Ziggy's Naturals and helping promote their products. And for those that are interested, we do have a discount this month. If you use Probably Husbands 20, you can get 20% off. Awesome CBD products that we actually didn't know that much about CBD until we talked to them. And what really inspired us to want to partner with them is the family aspect of this business. They're just really such a loving family, and then the products are really amazing and been very helpful for us since we started using them. So, you know, but what I love too is that you've really been you're based in Texas. We are now Texas living here, and you've been really outspoken about what's going on for the trans community here recently. Talk a little bit about being openly trans and speaking up for this community at this time. And I'm really curious to know just your story about coming out trans and your family, because your family is just so amazing, incredibly supportive, and it's beautiful to see.
Okay, so first with the whole community, I've always tried to put my story out there, because when I came out as trans and when I realized that, felt like this my whole life, but never really had the words to say it or knew I could actually look and be male, I just never knew that was a possibility until I saw people on YouTube and they put their story out there and would show 1 month, 2 months, and then show their story. And I really realized that's who I was too. And I think just seeing that made me realize that I needed to put my story out there for the community and for these other people to know that there's other people like them, just because seeing that helped me so much, you know. And even in my early phases, when I would try and reach out to people, some wouldn't really respond, and it was really hard. So I try and be that person who does respond to every single message I get and make sure I talk to any person who messages me or asks me a question or I see out in public or whatever, because, you know, I want to make everyone feel comfortable and welcome. And I don't know, it's really important to me, and it's special to be able to connect with other people as well that feel the same things I did growing up. So that's also a cool part of it for me, you know, just being able to connect with these people that we understand each other in a different way. That's definitely, I guess, a big answer to that. And then when I did come out, I was 25 years old. So I was already a little bit older, and we were already engaged before I came out to her and my family. And I kind of started the story before where I just started seeing other people that I realized I was and then I actually knew someone in high school who also is transgender, and I was able to talk to him, and he kind of said to me, well, he was like, if there was no one else in the world, what would you do? You know, because in those moments, we all think about what's everyone else going to think, right? And because I was always worried, oh, my parents are going to have to tell people, and what are those people going to think? And not even worried about my parents caring, because I never thought they would care. I always knew they would love me, but I was always worried about them having to tell other people and that being hard for them.
More of a society.
I don't know. And her family, you know, and I knew I mean, I don't know. I guess, Ziggy was like a lesbian, right? So, like, it was definitely scary coming out to her, like, because she liked girls. So it was definitely going to have to be a change for her as well. Like, she was going to have to kind of transition with me within our relationship. So
I feel like it just helped me kind of realize that being pansexual is a thing where you can love the person, not the gender. And it really is like the connection that you have with people, which is kind of how I've always been. It's like how I vibe with the person matters so much more than like any kind of external factors or the gender or which box we fit in if our relationship was to move forward. So with Jordan, that just was so easy and made sense because, I mean, I already loved who, you know, they were. So it was an easy transition as far as that goes.
Yeah.
How long were you together before?
Wait, let's go back.
Steven wants to go back.
So this is what we normally do. We like go back. Yeah. So let's go back to the first time you all met and how that happened and where you saw each other and, you know, what was your first interaction like with each other?
So I bet we both can have different answers for that. Well, so the first time I saw Ziggy was like at a bar. She didn't see me that night. You know what I mean? Like we didn't really know each other then. I just saw her at a bar a few nights, like a bunch of times. And it was always just like, kind of in awe by her.
Was she performing?
No, she just was like, I mean, not necessarily not performing, I guess. Like one time she was like doing a photo shoot at this bar and like there was all these people at this bar, but she's like doing this photo shoot or people were just taking pictures of her, whatever. Like I always thought she just like reminded me of like the girl next door. I don't know if y'all have seen that movie. Like,
yeah, totally. Know. What is that like actress's name? Girl. Yes, like, totally. You know, yes.
Like, yeah. But I never talked to her then. And I actually dated a girl who, like, we weren't really dating, but we were kind of dating. And she, like, cheated on me with Ziggy. Like, it was like this. Not really. Like, it was like this, whatever. You know, we were all really, really young then.
But, I kissed her.
Yeah, it was. But like,
and so the progress, like,
but so then like that was, but whatever, that your that answers your question is the first time I saw her was like at a bar and she was like getting her picture taken.
Like, and so you were like immediately like, who is that? That is the girl next door. I have to meet her.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean,
I knew Jordan like through mutual friends and yeah, like my girlfriend at the time like was friends with Jordan and knew Jordan and you were always like would show up to when I would have burlesque practice conveniently when I had like a, you know, like room full of really pretty girls dancing around and practicing their numbers. Jordan would always be like, oh, like I just thought I'd come by conveniently on Monday.
Yeah.
And then we actually moved in as roommates and lived with another person,
friend of ours, we became like really good friends.
And so we were like homies. Like we talked about like our dates, you know, like how it was good, like going with other people. And, like I would start getting home from work and like walk by your room and just start being like, hey, like, what's up? What are you doing? Like, so we just started hanging out like all the time. And then I think we kissed once and then it was over from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. So how?
I mean, we were for, I don't know, like at least like three years. And then we like moved in together and then we lived together for like a year as friends, and towards the end of our lease is when we like started dating kind of secretly. It was kind of a secret thing at first until we kind of knew, I guess, for sure. I don't know. And then our lease ended and we moved in together, like dating into the next place.
Definitely U-Haul.
Yeah. And then we lived there for a year and I proposed like when we lived there. So I proposed like pretty early. After like about
after one year,
Oh, 10 months.
Not probably not even. It was probably like about a year, maybe. And then we didn't get married for like 2.5 years after
we took
our
time
engaged.
Finding a venue.
Yeah. And then
we're the slowest wedding planners of all time.
And now we just had our 2-year wedding anniversary.
Aww, like, congratulations.
June 8th, yeah. So
yeah, congratulations.
It's interesting. Don't you find that, like, have you ever dated somebody before where you were like really good friends with them before the spark happened? Because Brett and I have that. We had that. Like, I'd never really dated somebody that I was friends with before anything actually happened. And we were really good friends for like 6 months before it was on. And we're still married, you know. So what was your experience with that? Had you dated people that you had been friends with before? Was this kind of your first time?
Different?
So I never had. I guess I'd always, you know, met somebody, had that initial attraction, and then it like progressed from there. I'd never like been friends with somebody. And like, so it was completely different with Jordan. It was more on this like personal level where it's like I could like joke around with him in a different way. You know what I mean? It was like so comfortable. To where it was like, by the time that we liked each other and we're, you know, it became progressed to that point, it was just so like easy and comfortable. Yeah. And it was like literally like dating my best friend. So it was a completely different experience from like that, the phases you go through in relationship. And, you know, that initial phase where it's just a little like, just being a little proper and scared to like do a certain thing, you know what I mean? Like eat messy or whatever it is, like in front of the other person. And it was just like so comfortable. Like we just could hang out and it was just came really naturally. So totally different.
No, I haven't either.
Had a friend first.
No, at all other girls that I dated or was with, I just we automatically were like talking, you know what I mean? Not like friends first, I guess. I mean, we were friends first, but it never was meant to just be friends, whereas we were really just friends. Like, I mean, I always had a thing, like, I always, you know,
and I had
clearly because the first time I saw Ziggy, she didn't even know. So,
my ex-girlfriend was always like, no, you two are like, it was like when we were roommates, my ex-girlfriend was always like, you two are like meant to be together. Like, y'all have this connection.
She
I was always like,
this
you
the
know,
time.
That's like my homie. Like, that's like that's Jordan's my friend. Like, we're really close. But like, yeah, I don't think we'll be dating. And I like denied it so hard. Like,
all the time she would tell us. Like,
it was pretty funny.
She was just like wanted everyone to love everyone. She was like one of those kind of people.
When we finally started publicly dating, she was like, I knew it. I told you.
So were you both? Like, what were you both doing at the time, career-wise? I mean, clearly you were performing, Ziggy, but were you really into fitness at that time, Jordan, or were you, what were you doing at the time?
Like, when we were living together?
When y'all were, started moving in and dating, and...
So I was working at a seafood market. I was a seafood monger. Like, you know what that is? They, like, cut fish all day. But I also was doing, like, the chef-prepared, like, items for the week. So I would, like, come up with a meal for the week and, like, it would be on, like, display because I worked at, like, a frozen seafood market, like, here in Austin.
So more in the...
Wow. So I was doing culinary stuff for, like... I mean, I went to culinary school. Well, I went from high school and went to LSU, actually, in Louisiana. And then I was in St. Marcus at Texas State and then decided to go to culinary school. And so I went to Le Cordon Bleu. And from there, I was working. I always worked in a kitchen, though. Like, since I was 15, I was always working in restaurants. So I was always in that industry. And I always really liked to cook. So culinary school was kind of just one of those things I wanted to, I guess I was like, oh, I can get my degree in like business management and also like get this really cool experience in culinary. But yeah, which led me to selling frozen seafood as well. Like I worked for a company called Fish & Co., which they supplied like Walmart with like almost all their frozen seafood. And also like Sysco Food Services. I don't know. Do you guys know what that is? They supply they're on chains and everything with like all their stuff. So I supplied, what I did is I had to sell to like a bunch of different Cisco houses around the United States. And so we got to, it was really cool because we got to travel to like a lot of places with that job. It was really cool. Like we were in Boston. Go ahead.
We need cooking lessons. Yeah,
can you please come and help us?
I'm like,
I pretend to cook. I don't know, like I cook, but I don't really.
I can't tell fish apart besides salmon and.
Yeah, wait. I actually worked at a seafood department when I was a teenager, and people would come and ask for something in the case, and I would be like, if I didn't know what it was, I was like, can you point to that? Because I have no idea what that is.
That's funny.
You're like, don't you?
That is great. Yeah. Wow. You're like,
well, I didn't know that. I didn't know about LSU. So my dad went to LSU. My brother went to LSU. And cool. And then my twin brother went to culinary school in Baton Rouge. So he was a chef for a while too.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's a brutal industry. You know, those hours are long and
Yeah, that's why I kind of switched over, I guess, to the selling side of it, which I didn't really like too much either, just because I was like selling stuff I didn't really want to sell or I wouldn't be actually at some point. So I was like, you know, this is not what I want to do. And that's when I went into like moved to Colorado. So
started a CBD company so you can sell something.
So that's how you started?
So not right after that. What I moved to Colorado and I worked for a company called Work. It's like WURK. And what they did is they were like a payroll HR service, kind of like ADP. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's an HR platform, right? That you like sell to companies. And it was like that. But what it was is it was specifically for the cannabis industry. And so I like sold a software service to the cannabis industry, to like all over the United States, whoever was legal. And so I did just more sales. I basically went from selling seafood to just doing more sales. And that kind of fell through because I just had like an altercation with a sales manager that just was not treating me like a man, basically. And I had to leave because it didn't work out. And so I had to leave. And that's when my dad and I were like talking and we're like, all right, like let's start a company. And he started using CBD a lot, and we knew that it could help like so many people, and it could be sold all over the United States because it was like legal, and it's just, you know, it's just could help so many people in so many different ways. And that's what I wanted to do, was be able to sell something that I actually was proud of. And so that's kind of how we got into selling CBD.
Wow. Talk about just, okay, well, let's keep focused on the relationship because I want to hear about, okay, so you were together for how long before your transition, and what was that like for you as a couple navigating that, getting married? I mean, you were already engaged. So were there questions about like, should we continue? Like, did you hesitate or was it just like, whatever, man, let's keep going?
I definitely feel like that's like, you know, we took our time with our engagement a little bit more too. It's just to give time to like process everything and get to a point you wanted to be at. And and I mean, it was like really important like to you to have top surgery and before our honeymoon and things like that. So I mean, there's a lot of big things in our life at that time that was like all in transition at the same time that you started physically transitioning. So I don't know, I just feel like we took our time and like figured it out and didn't rush anything, and when the pieces fell into place, they fell into place. And I don't know.
What do you think? No, I mean, that's a good answer. Like, no, but that's definitely true. Like, I wanted, once I started transitioning, I definitely wanted to get top surgery before our wedding, even just to like, you know, for our suit and all that stuff. And I wanted to be like healed from top surgery because I knew we were going to do like something outdoors with like all my family. So I just wanted to be like, I don't know, comfortable. So
yeah,
waited. And I mean, it also gave us time too. So I think that was good as well. And we also were just like looking for a specific venue, which took a really, really long time.
Those are like all the things that come up in wedding planning, like while you're transitioning. That's like gender roles and outdated things with weddings and traditions and the things that you think that you're expected to do. Yeah. And there's like so many moments where you're like, do we have to do this? Why are we doing this? Like, is this a thing that we need? Let's scrap this. Like, why is this a thing? Like, so yeah. It was definitely a,
like what?
Yeah, tell us. Like, yeah, give us an example.
We did incorporate some traditional, like, because Jordan's family is Jewish, so we incorporated some like, Jewish traditions in our ceremony. Yeah, yeah. But we like did a twist on it where we both broke the glass.
Oh yeah, so that's one thing right there. Because like the men usually breaks the glass, but we. Oh no, is it the man yeah, or the male. Yeah, the male. Yeah, which I don't even know. Yeah. Yeah, it's a yeah. It's the man that usually breaks. Are you Jewish too, right? No?
I'm it's, not.
Neither of us are Jewish.
Yeah, we are. No.
I heard something you said before. Never mind. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm Jewish.
No, but we lived in New York for 22 years. Yeah, you know,
but we also, I feel like
a lot of friends are
you know, we ran into like similar things of like not sure what kind of traditions to have in our ceremony as well. And then just finally being like, you know what, we can do whatever we want. Like, why? And, you know, and there were a lot of things that we did that we wanted to do that were traditional. And I think at one point we even talked about possibly stepping on a glass. Mm-hmm. I feel like we had that conversation. We did not do it, but.
Did you have a chuppah and all that stuff too?
No. We're not like really, really. We just do the glass because it's supposed to like. I should know what it's supposed to be.
Oh, your sound. Wait, your sound dropped out. Say that again.
Say it again.
I think I just like got lower. Because I got quiet. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I know. I was like saying something, but then I got lower because I was like, I don't really know what it's supposed to. So I got quiet.
I'm gonna offend Jewish people.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh yeah. Not being able to put the pieces back together. But so yeah, we both broke the glass. Like that was it. Yeah. And
I think.
I don't know. I mean, Ziggy. So like. Ziggy doesn't have her father because he passed away when she was younger. So she like we didn't do like the traditional like, you know, well, of course, the father-daughter dance that I, you know, would have done with my dad like that we didn't do.
That was confusing.
And like we didn't also like I didn't dance with my mom either because like Ziggy. So we just did our dance, you know. And
my
like
dog
and her dog, Pika, the dog you just met, walked her down the aisle. And then, like, when we left, it was so cute. Pika just, like, followed us back. Like, she, like, knew she was supposed to or something. It was just really cute.
But it's interesting with weddings, like, when you find out the reasoning behind why people do a lot of the traditional things, it's kind of like, that's very odd and extremely outdated. Like, the father walking you down the aisle used to be to, like, you know, like, give you away, yeah. Like, as, like, an object. So
right.
I was like, oh, I don't like that, like from a feminism point either. Like,
yeah.
And like carrying a bouquet of roses was to like cover up the smell because like, you know, you only got like so many baths a year back in the day.
That's like, crazy.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
No, same thing with funerals.
What? That's wild. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's wild.
Florist industry movie.
So you're now 2 years into your marriage. What is, and then you've 1 year of that, or maybe even a year and a half of that has been this pandemic.
Right.
So what have you learned about each other during the pandemic that maybe you didn't realize or know about the other person before?
I feel like a lot of like Jordan's activities and hobbies are like external and take place outside of the home, where I'm more of like introverted as far as a lot of my activities. Like I could sit in rhinestone. Like I had craft supplies for like, I've hoarded craft supplies my whole life for like this moment for quarantine. I had so much to do. I was in the house like just dragging things out. Like I'm just going to paint. I'm going to create this. And Jordan was just like, I need to go like to a gym. Like I need to go outside. Like I'm going crazy.
Yeah. I mean.
So we ended up doing a lot of hiking.
Yeah. I definitely also realized too, I mean, I'm glad I was in Colorado for the first half of it because of that reason. I just really like to be outdoors. I don't know. I feel like I just get, I'm so much like my dad where I just can't sit still. I wake up at 7 a.m. and I'm like, all right, I got to get up. I got to get out, like do something, or not out of the house necessarily, but I don't know. I'm not the person to just like sit. And even when we watch TV, sometimes I'm like standing. It's kind of bad. I need to learn to just relax a little bit.
Meanwhile, I can like shut myself in a room and like sew for like 18 hours. So.
I mean, I also think that, I mean, I've learned that she likes going, not out, but like getting ready, you know, to like go places. And I think that was like really hard, like not being able to do that a lot and just like feeling like maybe not like herself as much, you know? So.
Yeah, doing 2 hours of makeup just to like take pictures and wash it off was always really sad. I was like, I want to go dance.
Yeah, it's like, there's nowhere to go.
Whereas it's funny because she says like, I like going out and doing those things, where I'm the opposite when it comes to like nighttime events. I'm like, no, like, I'm like 9 o'clock, right? Like, time for me to like chill.
I need to go to a special
tattoo,
okay?
Like, it's funny. So, but I'll compromise, like, because we don't do it all the time. So,
yeah. We're not like late night people either, but we worked in the theater, and all of our friends are doing late night shows too. So you do have to go support those shows. And okay, so I want to talk. I think we'd be remiss to not talk about what's happening politically in Texas and what you were just marching at the Capitol for. Because I think there's a lot of confusion around what's happening with this idea of banning trans kids from playing sports. And as somebody who's like so athletic and really into fitness, can you explain maybe to our listeners what exactly they're trying to do, at least in the state of Texas? I know each state has their own stuff happening.
So from like what I fully understand, so I'm not like 100%, but from what I fully understand from when I was there and what I've read is, but I think the bill actually got like dismissed.
There's enough progressive people in the Texas Capitol, which is surprising.
What they were trying to do was, so the bill, there already is a bill out that basically says that if you live in Texas, you have to play on the sport team that matches your birth certificate. Okay. But it doesn't have like a specific date or something. So some kids like have their birth certificates changed already, you know? So those are like, and usually those are the kids that are really, really young. Honestly, they're the kids that are like, yeah, like that are like 12, you know, or maybe like 10 even, you know, and so they're really young, and they didn't even have to take, I mean, it's, you're just so young and you haven't even fully developed. And there's like been facts that have said that like boys don't actually like fully develop till they're like 17 or 18, like certain things. I don't really know the exact facts. So that's why I'm like, I don't want to say it, you know?
Yeah.
But so it's, what I'm saying is though, it's like they wanted to change the law to say that it has to be your birth certificate from birth. So like, so you know what I mean? So it already says, yeah. So it's like, it already says that's to be your birth certificate, but some kids can get away with it because their birth certificate has been changed. Whereas some kids like it still hasn't. So they still play on, like, I met this kid who was like at the event, and he's 17 years old, and he just turned 18. But when I met him, he was 17 like, a few months ago. And he wrestled in high school, but he like had to wrestle on the girls' team, and he had to like do physicals with the girls, and he had to just, I mean, there were so many things that he had to do. And he also like said that he would go to competitions and other teams would forfeit because they didn't want their girls wrestling him. So he just like wouldn't get to even wrestle. So it was just, you know, at that point, it's just like, why is that even, that's not fair, you know?
Well,
and it's not like, you know, maybe he's not a pro wrestler either, but like, so let him just wrestle with the boys. Like, what kind of harm is it doing? And what everyone was saying at the, like, at the march, and when I was like actually at the Capitol for the hearing and all that, like for them to like hear the bill out and like hear everybody's like statements, and like basically what I was hearing is that these people were scared that they're going to take away their kids' scholarships. Like, they're going to take away the, and they weren't really necessarily as much worried as the trans guys.
It seemed more
playing
like
with guys. It was more so like protect
the girls' sports. Yeah.
But, you know, you have this 10-year-old trans girl sitting in front of them saying, like, I just want to play soccer with the girls. And, like, she's,
I feel like
there's
like moms and dad, you know, like certain parents that take sports very, very seriously as like a way of, you know what I mean, like as a means to go to college. And so I feel like that's like a, where that misinformation, not really understanding things and not really knowing on a personal level is where a lot of that anger is coming from. You know what I mean? Like they're seeing it as like a danger to all girls. And I feel like in a lot of things when transgender rights come up on a political level, it has to do with some kind of anger from like that, like same with like the bathroom bill. It's like some sort of anger of like protecting women, but it's like not, it's not even about, you know what I mean, in the reality that's so like out of touch with what's going on.
Well, and if you actually look at, you know, certain facts and percentages, there's really only like 2%, I think, of like every, like, I don't even actually know. It's like 2% of kids get scholarships like every year or something like that. So it's such a low percentage, no matter what, that it's just right. Ridiculous to not let these kids play. And the bill is only about kids like kindergarten through 12th grade. It's not about like college or, you know, like NBA, like, oh, LeBron James wants to like all of a sudden transition to a female and play in the WNBA. Like, of course that's not fair. You know, I mean, he's like a full grown man, like that's not fair. Mm-hmm. But when you're a child so young and you haven't even fully developed your, I mean, anything really, like, you know, it's just crazy.
But don't we feel like even, I mean, to me, regardless of the sports aspect, I feel like just people's own fear and anger around not understanding what it means to be transgender, it just creates like one pathway to continue to discriminate and not understand, right? It's just another way to put a wall up so that they don't have to be exposed to learning and experiencing, you know, what it means. Don't you agree?
Yeah,
I feel like a lot of hate comes from just like not knowing or understanding, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've met people who, I mean, I know, like, have hated against the community where I meet them, and I'm like, I, like, wonder if they are trans, and they just have been hidden their whole life, you know, and, or, you know, it's just so, certain things like that, too, where it's, like, some people maybe who are older, who were scared to come out, and now like they see all these young people who like have these courage, and they just are like so mad that they didn't, you know, which so I think, I don't know, you know, but I feel like that's a thing. So
yeah, I mean, it is changing quickly. I feel like I see more visibility than I've ever seen, and I'm so honored to get to know you and your family. I mean, it just is so beautiful to see. I feel like I've known you for a long time, and we've only just met.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to hang out more, because we really do need to spend more time together. Can you tell people our listeners where to follow the two of you so that they can check out your Instagram and support everything you're doing?
I'm at Stylelust. It's STYLELUST.
Stylelust. Yeah. And my Instagram is Jojo Pollock.
Jojo Pollock.
So it's JOJOPOLLACK.
And amazing. Yeah, check out Ziggy's Naturals. Talk about CBD and like what CBD does for people. Like, what? How is it beneficial?
So it's beneficial because everybody has an endocannabinoid system. So we all have CB1 and CB2 receptors like in our body and on our skin everywhere. So that's what the one thing people really don't know and realize is that like we actually are made with receptors for these products, so or for the plant basically, right? And so when we put it inside, it actually helps our central nervous system like relax, it helps us sleep, it helps reduce inflammation, it can help, I mean, so many different things. There's people that tell us it helps with their restless leg syndrome. There's people that tell us it helps with fibromyalgia. There's people that tell us it helps with nausea. Like there's so many different things because exactly. where it like, because we have these receptors, right? So like compared to when you take something like even an ibuprofen, right? That we don't have something in our body that's like made to break this down and like turn it into good. It's just made to do something, you know, and help us. Whereas we like have the receptors for these other products. So it's just, I think that's why it works so great and can do so many different things that we don't even really realize yet. Like, and I actually met this girl the other day who now in college, they're studying like cannabinoids and all the different ones, like, and what they can do for us and like each specific one, because there's like CBN, CBG, like, so there's all different ones that are like, some are good to help with appetite, like just different things that they can help do, which is really cool. Cause I'm sure the more and more we get into it, we'll be able to do like, you know, we'll be able to help so many different things with it.
Yeah. Well, it's helped me a lot with my plantar fasciitis, which has always been an issue.
And I love rolling it on my neck. It feels so good. Yeah.
I mean, he's been dancing a lot. He uses that roller and it helps him a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. My knee was like a pretty inflamed the other night. I like hurt it when I was working out and I used the roller on it. And I mean, within like 10 minutes, it just like felt so much better. It works.
It's
great.
It's kind of crazy how quick that works. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it works great.
Well, check out our show notes to check out Ziggy's Naturals and, of course, use our discount code if you want to check out your first batch. Awesome. Okay. So now we're going to move on to a segment
that we call Spotlight on Love.
Yeah. So
we have someone write in. And
they want to remain anonymous.
They want to remain anonymous. And we're going to have to interpret this a little bit because they didn't give us
a lot left out.
The most details. So do you want to read it?
Yeah. My brother and I haven't talked in over a year. We have a lot of history and I wanted to set some boundaries. I want him in my life, but I'm afraid to reach out because of how he will react. What is the best way to reach out to him and still keep healthy boundaries? Jordan, you can go first.
I mean, maybe write him a letter. I don't know. I always tell people to write people a letter because
you want to say hard things.
Yeah, it's just because, and it's sometimes you write stuff, you know, like when you're writing, like actually writing, you know, it's like you're able to like,
it flows differently.
Yeah. And also like when he reads it, it's like not as like, you know, a text message where he can just like text you right back his response either. Like he's gonna have to like read it and probably read it over and over,
process it
and really like think about his response, and I don't know, it might actually turn out better than if he would do it some way faster, like a call or text, like even an email, you know. So because he can email him back, but
it's like the anxiety of that, like quick, like having to answer right away, especially like with phone calls when I have like, you know, a bridge of communication that I'm trying to make up that gap. I feel like picking up the phone and calling them is a little bit more anxiety inducing because then you have to like have that like banter of that back and forth and things can escalate, you know, like especially if there's like past things. But I think setting boundaries is so important, and it takes like so much courage to do that for yourself. So congratulations on setting those boundaries, even though it has kind of affected you and your family in a negative way as far as your relationship with your brother. But I think communication is a really big first step, and I think just opening up that door and kind of like seeing where that year would take you guys, you know, like what, because who knows where, like, where their mind is at, where your brother's mind is at, and you never know like what they're thinking or at what point they're ready for your relationship to be at until you take that first step and pull off that band-aid and reach out in some form of communication. I think that's such an important step.
I love that answer.
Your answers are so good, because mine would just be like, yeah, reach out somehow. The writing the letter thing is like, that's genius. That's a
really good idea. Because who writes letters anymore?
No one writes letters. And I guess my answer would be, sorry.
No, go ahead. What would your answer be?
I was just going to say, like, maybe not text, but send a message, either text or calling, saying we should meet up, like, and talk face to face. That would be like my that would be my suggestion, is like meet up somewhere where maybe you only have a half hour or an hour and you have to leave, so you have a quick, you know, time limit in public. Yeah. So you have whatever conversation you need to have, because I think it's so important that you're able to kind of read the person while they're in front of you. And I love what you said too, Ziggy, is like, you know, usually like when you're wrapped up in your own stuff, you create all of these things that could or couldn't happen, or how they are or how they're not. And then when you get what they give you back, usually it's like not as dramatic as usually. I mean, maybe sometimes it can be. Right. Right. Yeah.
Like usually, most of the time. Yeah.
Most of the time. Yeah. So I think it's important, you know, communication, but communication in a way that you're able to receive what they're saying and they're able to receive what you're saying.
And being around you right back if needed, you know, that's always important. Mm-hmm. It's like being able to reestablish those boundaries once that communication has opened is important as well.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you really want somebody in your life, then you kind of have to be the person to do the reaching out, you know, that's, you know, and he may not respond back, you know, that's the other thing. Like, you never know. So you just have to be willing to like, be okay with whatever outcome comes. Cause I mean, I've recently had an experience with somebody who I considered a brother, and they're going through a divorce, and, you know, and that's been really hard because, you know, you kind of have to choose one side in a way, which is just not fair. But, and now we don't talk, man. It's really hard. So I kind of get the grief in the mourning of that. You kind of have to let those things happen naturally, I think, my opinion, because you never know. People change, people evolve, and like time passes and you become a different person.
Yeah.
So who knows? Just be gentle with yourself and honor your own boundaries. If it's going to make you feel like unsafe, it's not worth doing.
Right. Right.
You can like write a letter and put a date on it. Be like, meet me here at this time, this day.
So lovely.
Put it in a bottle and then throw it.
That was kind of a joke, but would that be cool? And then he just like shows up and you're like, all right, so these are the boundaries. And you just like basically own the entire situation.
The place we first put our bicycles at the park. Meet you there.
I love that.
It's funny. Oh my gosh, we're so happy to have you both on the podcast. Make sure you guys, all our listeners, check out the links in the show notes so you can follow them and all their amazing adventures. And I'm sure you will see plenty of content of us with them in the near future. Thank you again for coming on and being guests.
Yeah, thanks for being here. You guys are true inspiration, true example of love and beauty.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us. Yeah, and we will hang out soon.
Thanks for listening to the Broadway Husbands podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. And while you're at it, leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on.
Don't forget to check out Broadway Life Apparel and our new designs that are released every month. Thanks to our Patreon patrons. Don't forget to join our family by going to patreon.com/ Broadway Husbands.
And a big shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. Go to BPN.com.
anchor.fm/husbands to check out the wide array of Broadway themed podcasts for your listening pleasure. And on this podcast, we encourage you to love who you love
and love what you do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.